Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work. I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I analyze the impact dynamic pricing strategies could have on your website. When designing an online store, the tendency is to focus on the technical aspects that will drive the functionality of your site. It can be tempting to think that the website is finished when it's been proven to function correctly. What often gets lost in the shuffle is the importance of a pricing strategy and the store builder's role in that process. Most successful businesses have incorporated a dynamic pricing strategy that determines how prices will vary according to important changes and factors. If your website isn't set up to account for these variances, it won't operate at peak levels, regardless of how good the tech is. On this episode, you'll hear why developing a pricing strategy should be a priority. Because prices are not fixed and there is no right answer for how to set them, you will need a consistent approach to help you set prices for your business. Next, we'll talk about how dynamic pricing works. Businesses across all industries strategically adjust their prices according to factors like customer expectations, volume, timing, and the prices set by your competitors. Then we'll go over some data to think about when considering dynamic pricing. These would include numbers affecting supply, demand, competition, and substitution products. Finally, we'll discuss how you can implement dynamic pricing on your website. Many hosting platforms have pricing plugins you can use, but don't overlook the power that manual discounts and banner ads can also have on customer behavior. If you're looking for the best ways to increase your pricing flexibility, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. Chris, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you again.
It's good to see you, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's great to see you. So, interesting topic today, dynamic pricing, really important for store builders. Before we dive into dynamic pricing, I want to talk about how sometimes store builders can overlook just having a pricing strategy in place. So can we start off by talking about what a pricing strategy is and why it's important?
Yeah. So I think that's awesome. It's a great place to start. Most people make the presumption that there is a intrinsic price and value exchange for whatever product they're selling. And so they just kind of go, well, it's just the price. Like, that's just it. It is there. And yet, if I were to ask you, how much would you be willing to pay for 72 ounces of M&Ms? You'd be stuck, right? Like, well, how much is 72 ounces? Is it a little pack, a medium pack, or a big pack? And then what's the going rate? Because you don't keep that in your head. Like, I don't know. How much is a small? Is it $1? Is it $2? I don't know. And then therefore, what should 72 ounces be? Like, even though we're talking about, well, yeah, there's a specific amount. Like, I just told you how, I told you what M&Ms and I told you how much, right? 72 ounces. And we're still left with, yeah, but I don't know the price of that. And you're like, right. Because most of us don't know the intrinsic value of anything. Most of us figure out what we're willing to pay predicated on looking left and right. Like, well, what would 60 ounces be? What would 90 ounces be? Or what would 10 ounces be? And also, what do I normally pay? And do I care about M&Ms that much? Right. Mm. So in the end, we have to figure out, how should we price our products and what pricing strategy should we approach it with? And you know, it's harder to do with M&Ms, but you do it with hotels all the time, right? There are business hotels that cost a little bit more than your regular motel that have breakfast included and have a particular rate during the week. But if you go to that business hotel on the weekend, it's almost empty, right? And there are luxury hotels that still give you four walls, a roof, a bathroom, and a bed, and they cost 5 to 10 times what a business hotel would cost, which is 2 times what a motel would cost, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden you're like, yeah, but I'm getting the same in every place. And you're like, yeah, but you're not, right? And then you get hotels that slide into a spot and they're like, we're gonna price it lower so that we can get in the market and win by creating a new offering, a new approach. So pricing is one of those things that we experience all the time, right? Whether we stay in a hotel or go buy groceries, most people, unless they buy peanut butter every single day, don't know how much 42 ounces of peanut butter is. We just don't. We don't have intrinsic knowledge of value.
Right.
That's why the game show, The Price is Right, is so much fun. Right. Because you're like, I don't know. I have four numbers and I have to rearrange it into the right price for this object. I have no idea. Like, Price is Right wouldn't be fun if pricing was intrinsic and understood and everyone just had it. And yet, as merchants, when we're building a store, we often end up thinking, well, let's just put the price, like, it's just the price. This is what it is. Because we've been dealing with the price the whole time. So for us, it's not shocking. It's not striking. It's not hard to think about because we've seen it over and over. So we've gotten anchored. But to an outside person who shows up, you're like, I don't know. Like, what should be the price, right? I think you and I have talked about before the dynamic of people selling mattresses online, right? And I was recorded online in a podcast somewhere 3 years ago where I said, the one thing no one will ever sell online is a mattress, right? And then now there's 27 different companies doing it at totally different prices, right? Mm-hmm. Anywhere from $400 to $5,000 and everything in between. And with, you know, 3 months of return policy and a year of a return policy, like, and all the variables adjust and change. And you're like, this is crazy. But that's what happens. And when, if you're bringing a new company where there was none, right? Or when there was only one approach, which was you go to a showroom floor and you lay on a bunch of beds and you pick it. If you step in and say, we're going to do something different where you don't get to experience the product before you get it, then you have to ask yourself, well, should I be high price? And should I use price to suggest that there's higher value here? Should I do low price so I can sell more volume?
Right.
Where do I sit? And that's when you talk about pricing strategy and saying, this is something you need to think about.
Right, right. So let's jump into dynamic pricing then. So what's the difference between dynamic pricing and more standard pricing options?
So Ryan, I bet in the last couple of years, you've gone to a movie theater. Uh-huh. And if you've gone to a movie theater, the price depends on when you go, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not fixed. If you go in the daytime, you get a discounted price. If you go in the evening, you get full price. Now, why didn't it get named like, hey, if you come in the daytime, it'll be full price. And if you come in the evening, we know you're rich. So we're going to charge you more. like the rich tax. Yeah. Well, the rich tax wouldn't sell very well, right? We'd be like, I think you're just price gouging me because you think I have money. And you're like, well, why would I think you have money? Well, because I can't come during the day, which means I'm working, which means I have a job. Mm-hmm. And so I can only come at night. And if I come at night and I have a job, it means I can pay more. But if I go in the middle of the day, it's because I'm retired or I'm a student and my day ended at 2 or 3. And so I can go see a movie and I have less money. And so you should charge me less. Dynamic pricing is about changing the price to the product. Now, you can change the price for a lot of different reasons. One is segmented pricing, right? Based on different kinds of audience. And so students and elderly get a movie ticket for less if they go earlier in the day, and normal families and adults pay more if they go in the evening. It's a changing price, and they happen to change it at 5 p.m. across the country, right? And you go, okay. Other people change the price when volume's different, right? So imagine that you wanted to buy a plane ticket. Now, let's be clear. There's no way you or I are ever going to predict what the price of a plane ticket is, because the number of rules are just insane. I don't think there's a human being who can tell you Tuesday, 2 p.m. from, you know, LA to Denver, here's what the price is. Because those things are always in flux. But I'll tell you this, right? What we do know is that how many seats on the plane are vacant lowers the price, right? That the volume of the uptake, the number of people who have purchased or not purchased, changes the nature of the price, which is different than a movie theater, right? In a movie theater, if you have 200 seats and you've sold 190 of them, the last 10 are going to cost exactly the same as the first 10,
Mm-hmm.
We don't change the price, right?
Right.
But if you want to get on a plane and you're in the last 10, it may cost you more. It may cost you less. And it just kind of depends on how they've designed their algorithm, right?
So this happens across industries. It's just finding out what's causing the prices to shift, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And we get that choice, right? So are we going to look at our competitors? So this is something that Southwest does a lot, right? Southwest is looking at all their other competitors, and that's when they're creating their sales and whatever. Whenever they feel like the market is making an adjustment, they make an adjustment. They want to stay towards the bottom. I'm not saying they're not trying to be Ryanair. They're not trying to be, what's the other one that, anyway, there's a couple of very, very low cost that, you know, the guys where you're like, hi, I would like a seatbelt. And they're like, that would be $10 extra.
Right.
Like they're not that, but they want to stay towards the low price leader. So they have to watch their competitors. And when Alaska Air is flying from Oregon to LA at a cheaper price than they normally do, they do a sale. And they're like, hey, we have a special promotion going on, and now you can do from these different places at $39, right? And right. So part of it is environmental scanning, right? Watching your competitors. So competitors can make an adjustment. Industry, like, so the story, the backstory of Southwest was their competition was the car. Right? Hmm. They designed the airline in the state of Texas where you flew from one place to another. And they said, okay, if I'm flying from Houston to Dallas, I could also drive from Houston to Dallas. So how much would I spend in gas driving from Houston to Dallas? And that's my competition. So how do I adjust my price to make it so that flying is a viable alternative? Now,
right.
We've come a long way since driving everywhere. But your competition isn't always exactly like you, right? It's not in the case of planes. It's you think, oh, my competition is United and some Delta and yet it might be driving a car, right? So
yeah.
Competition, the volume that's being sold, which includes demand, right? Customer expectation, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much are they willing to pay? How much do they expect to pay? Sometimes we create something brand new. I was walking through Best Buy yesterday, and they have a new device that I've never seen before. It's a little cylinder. It looks a little bit bigger than a Coca-Cola can, and it holds all your photos.
Hmm.
I don't know if that means it taps into your phone and camera and computer and sucks it all into one place, or if it taps into Google Photos and sucks it down. I don't know what it does. I just know that my son and I saw it, and my son said to me, Nana would like that, which is my mom, right? Grandma would love that device. And I had at that moment when, you know, you haven't looked at the price yet, I had no idea, is this something that I would pay $60 for, $100 for, $300 for? I don't even know, right?
Yeah.
Part of it is you have to think about, well, if it's just a big hard drive, how much do I spend on hard drive? And you're like, well, the cost of those little jump drives that you could USB drives you could stick in, those went from being very expensive to being very inexpensive, right?
Right.
I can buy 256 gigs of storage for probably $30. So if this thing is a terabyte, maybe I just pay 120, right? Like you're doing your own math, but you have this whole like, what would the customer expect even on a new product? Because they're going to find, you know, what they consider to be a similar kind of product and price point, and then go, is this reasonable or unreasonable?
Right, right. So is there a consistent approach or philosophy that can help you guide your pricing, or is it too variable by your industry?
The good news is this, it can be anything you want.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So dynamic pricing is based on the fact that you collect certain data. And that data could be about your industry, it could be about your competition, it could be about your customers, but you're going to collect some data and then you're going to use that data to affect your pricing.
Okay.
And there have been tons of experiments that I think college football stadiums, right, played this game of figuring out how to change the price of a college football.
So
seat,
true. Yeah.
Right?
Drastically.
And the gap between like the cheapest and the most expensive version of the price of one specific seat was massive.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, yeah, we're going to make changes, and we might make changes based on, you know, like if you happen to be at a football game, standing outside the gate 10 minutes after it started, the value of that ticket is going to feel really different than 3 hours before it started.
Yeah, right.
Because they're like, the game's already started. Like at this point, sell it for $2 or whatever. I don't own and run those stadiums, but it's dramatically different.
It is.
Data, using data to change your price, right? Mm-hmm. So supply data, right? How much do you have of inventory? You might say, hey, the price is this, but when I get to the last bits, let's move the price up a little or down a little, depending on what you want to do, right? Demand. How much has a product sold in its past, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a consistent demand? And can that change the price? I live in Southern California. One of the biggest attractions here in Southern California is a place that you might have heard of called Disneyland.
Right.
And Disneyland has several passes that once you buy the pass, you can go in and out as often as you like without paying any more, right? You just pay for the pass.
Right.
But the pass is expensive. And so then they created other passes, right? They created other variants of the product where they said, let's lower the price, but restrict the days. Like you can't come on Saturdays. You can come on Sundays, but you can't come on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Or you can't come on Saturdays and you can't come in the summer, right? Here's the crazy thing. Southern California, and so Southern California people, if you live in certain zip codes, you get access to some of those really discounted plans, but restrictions. Can't come in the summer, can't come on Saturdays. And I had friends who were like, Disneyland sucks these days. There's so many people. And you're like, oh, okay. And then like, and their plans, their passes, yearly annual passes suck. They're getting more expensive every day. And you're like,
right.
You understand that's on purpose, right?
Yeah, right.
Problem number one, there's too many people in the park, was solved by problem number two, which is, we will make it harder for local people to go in at the days when we're most congested so that there's less people in the park, right? Like you just declared, I have a problem with number one. They solved it with number two. And you said, I now have a problem with the solution too. And you're like, then you just have problems, right? Like I can't help you. But that's exactly what Disneyland's doing. They're looking at demand. They're looking at customer data. And then they're creating new price points and restrictions to define how to solve it. So supply data, demand data, customer data, right? I walked into a fairly expensive store. I did not know it was expensive. You know, those kind of stores that predominantly focus on women. And so since I'm not one, I don't normally go in it, right? So this one was called Ann Taylor Loft, I think. It is one of those more fashionable boutiques. And I was driving by it when I thought, I'll stop in and buy my wife and her best friend some Christmas gifts, right? Mm-hmm. So I stopped in, I pulled the car over, parked, walked in, and just saw mittens and a scarf, right?
Okay.
Knit mittens and knit scarf, and a beautiful color and beautiful texture. And I just took two pairs of each, right? Took it to the desk and went to pay. And in my whole life, I've never spent that much money on mittens and scarves.
Right.
And we at the time we lived in Northern California, not a place that you'd be like, it's so cold, you need mittens and scarves, right?
Sure.
But I had stepped into a boutique that said, this is priced a little different. This is for a slightly different target. This has like, there's a whole bunch of customer demographic data that the moment you walk into that store, you should know it's going to be more expensive than me walking to Target. But I didn't know. I'm like, I think that's a cool store that I think I've heard the girls talk about. Let me just pull in and get this for the girls. And then I was like, holy moly. Like, Melissa, you need to cherish these mittens and scarf for the rest of your life because they're so expensive. Collecting competition. Collecting what we call substitution products, right? If you drink coffee all the time, tea might be your alternative if suddenly there was no coffee, right? So you might just switch from coffee to tea. That's a substitution product. What's the price of that, right? Like, let's say that you're into Gatorade all the time, but Gatorade's costing you $2.95 for the bottle. And right next to it is a slightly less energy drink that is mostly water, but has a little infusion of something. And so you're like, this is vitamin water zero, right? Like, yeah, it has zero calories and it costs $1. And you're like, yeah, I'll just buy that instead, right?
Uh-huh.
So the first understanding is collecting the data of all the factors that could trigger or change pricing. The mm-hmm. second, of course, is the price. And yep. how do you adjust the price based on that data?
Okay, right. I'm interested in how a store builder would make this part of the store. I don't know if there's a way to automate this or if this is something that you manually do. Where do you get started if you're on board with this idea?
Like I said, because this is a, you can do it any way you like, mm-hmm. there are different ways to implement it, right?
Okay.
So most e-commerce platforms, whether you're talking about Magento or WooCommerce or you know any platform out there that you can step into, or Shopify and BigCommerce, you often can go change and create a discount, let's say, on a category. So you could say, all right, looking at demand, this particular product is not selling well, or it's selling pretty good, and it could sell even better, right? If I discount the price. And so what you do is you go into a tool, like, you know, one of these platforms, and you say, I want to add a coupon, an automated discount coupon for this category of products, take 10% off. And then I go put a banner on the top of my page that says, hey, now until while supplies last, right? Everything in my electronics is off, is discounted by 10%. So you don't have to touch every product to change the price, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, other, you know, some platforms will have price lists or the ability to change the price based on the group. So with WooCommerce, you might have a membership plugin like WooCommerce memberships. And in the membership, you say, if this person is part of this membership group, discount all their products by 10%, right? Mm. So now you're doing it by segment. If they're in this segment, change this price. If they're in this segment, change this price. Magento and other platforms have price lists where you can say, again, if they're in this group, show them price list A instead of B, right? So you don't have to touch every single product,
right?
You don't have to mm-hmm. do a lot of work to implement a couple of these. And you might do it manually, like, ooh, I see my competitors having sale. Let me go in and add this rule in for the next month, and then I'll take it out when I want. Of course, you can also use some tools, use some technology, run some scripts. I have a client of mine who has all his products in a spreadsheet. He uses a third-party company, and he takes that spreadsheet and he uploads it to them. And then they scan the entire world, or as much of the world as they know, for prices of his products, right? Wow. Because he takes these products and he sells them through distributors who then sell them to other endpoints. So he wants to know what Best Buy and what Amazon and what other places are selling his product for. And that third-party service, that's all they do, right? They just go out and check environmental scanning. They're looking at your products, and they check it every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. And then they bring it back and they show you, here's the lowest price, here's the average price, here's the highest price. And then on his store, right, which is the name store, he's trying to manage his price in the midst of competition. And so he's automated some things. He also pays for that, right? He pays a service to go find what other people are you know, selling his products for out in the real world.
Okay, great. Well, I think that's about all the time we have, Chris. That was really, really helpful. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thanks. All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to bring dynamic pricing to your website. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.